Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to Packer Transplants Live. I am Aaron Negler, and joining me, as always, is Mr. Corey Banky, my partner here at Cheesehead TV. I'm coming to you live from Cheesehead TV, New York. Corey joins us across the street from Lambeau Field, and we are ready to talk some Packers. What do we have on tap today, Corey?
Today, we move past the embarrassment in Cleveland and look ahead to a primetime showdown in Dallas. But right now, it's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good. We got
Jeff Hafley.
We got the bad. We got
the offensive line.
We got the ugly. We got
that blocked field goal. That was pretty damn ugly, Banky. But you are looking great, sir. And Lambeau Field is looking beautiful. How you doing today?
I'm good. I'm having a little carry the G.
A little carry the G. I've heard of that.
Let me just tell you. I like it. I like it. I like it a lot. Ooh, having to carry a G together. Actually, for those of you one of the greatest things I've ever experienced on this earth is this garlic jalapeno sauce that I fermented garlic and jalapenos from my garden, and I'm telling you right now, it's fire. Fire, I'm telling you, it's fire. It's fire. It's so good. Sorry.
It is. I can't wait to taste it. You better have some available when I'm in town next month.
I'll try not to eat it all.
Don't eat it all. Save some for your boy.
I'm going to put some in my beer. Sure. It's that good. I've thought of new things to put this on. Like, I'm like, oh yeah, I'll put that on cake. Oh yeah, I'll put that on cake. I'll put that on my peanut butter sandwich. It'll give it some heat. You know what I mean?
Amazing.
It'd be great.
Absolutely incredible. I love it. I absolutely love it. Want to give a shout out to our friends over at Nicolay Law. Support for this episode of Packer Transplants comes from Nicolay Law, a personal injury law firm serving folks across the Midwest. If you've been injured, you need more than just a quick payout from the insurance company. You need someone who will actually fight for what you deserve so you can focus on healing and moving forward. That's what Nicolay Law does. They help people get the best possible outcome. No upfront fees, no legal jargon, and no big egos. Just local attorneys who have your back when it matters most. To learn more, visit NicolayLaw.com or give them a call at 855-NICOLAY. That's 1-855-NICOLAY. Do it, folks. There's also a link in the description of this video if you want to find out more information. You can do that. But right now, you know what time it is, Banky. It's time for the hotness. That's right. It's time for the hotness, and God knows there wasn't a whole lot to choose from on the offensive side of the ball, but there was plenty to look at on the defensive side. And Corey, you know how we always talk about the pass rush needing to, especially when it comes to the center of the defensive line, not allow the quarterback to step up in the pocket, right? Don't give him A, an escape valve, but B, you want those edge players to be able to constrict the pocket, turn the corner, and not have the quarterback be able to just kind of step up away from that pressure. Well, there was a play in this game on Sunday that was absolutely textbook. Let's take a look at the collapse of this pocket. Look at those two defensive tackles. There is nowhere for Flacco to step up. I mean, absolutely no. Watch it again. That's a wall in front of him. And you see him when he finally kind of pulls his eyes down. He realizes he has absolutely nowhere to go. That, my friends, is the hotness. And that happens again and again.
I was about to say, defense. We could have picked that play from any time in the game.
Any of the three games they've played, 100%. It is like, so well done. It is such.
I've already taken it for granted at this point. I've literally taken it for granted.
I know. Yeah.
Okay.
That's what they do. Exactly.
So is the offense.
That's who they are.
So is the offense. Yeah. So is the offense.
Right.
The offense is yeah, it's cool. They'll stop them from scoring. It'll be fine.
No, we go three and out. It's okay. We got this defense. They're really good. All right, let's eat our vegetables. We'll get to some Packers news, the headline of which is unfortunate, probably not too surprising, but Zach Tom reportedly will miss the game in Dallas. Now, LaFleur wouldn't confirm that today, but Schefter reporting it, and it feels, you know, like this is a done deal. He will miss the Dallas game. There's an opportunity for him, obviously, coming off missing a game Sunday night, and then they have their bye week. Hopefully, outside chance, he's back out there for the Bengals game, but he will not play Sunday night in Dallas. Speaking of injuries coming off of that Cleveland game, Javon Bullard still in the concussion protocol, did not practice today. No word yet on where, how he's progressing, what have you, just that he's still in the protocol, did not participate in practice today. Along that offensive line, which we will talk about in a minute, Packers have signed tackle Brant Banks from their practice squad to the 53-man roster. He was a rookie from Rice who was with them this summer. Actually had a pretty decent preseason and a decent camp. We'll see if he is off the bench at any point going forward here, but he is now a member of the roster, not on the practice squad. He was brought up, actually, in week two to the 53-man roster for game day, but now he's an official member of the active roster. And then we got some practice squad news for you, Corey, because I know you're a very ardent watcher of all things
that
practice
wasn't
squad.
The practice squad news?
Oh, no. That was a 53-man roster news, sir. The practice squad news is the Packers have signed wide receiver Jacoby Keeney-James to the practice squad, and they have signed Lectius Smith to the practice squad. He had actually been with them during camp, and it was actually on their practice squad last year for about 6 weeks, and then was with the Patriots, etc. But now he's back with the Packers on their practice squad. You got to think, yeah, definitely want to, you know, bring as much offensive line depth into the fold as you can. And then finally, somebody was released off the practice squad, Corey. That was one
surprising
wide receiver,
release.
Veteran wide receiver, Mecole Hardman. And here's how the news was broken on Packers Daily yesterday. Maybe that opens up the possibility of utilizing one of those call-ups on Mecole Hardman. I'm with you. I think that makes all the sense in the world.
A few moments later.
Well, so much for calling up Mecole Hardman, because he was just released from the practice squad. Shout out to Patreon member Joe for putting that together. Just classic Nagler's
just
never
kidding.
Right stuff.
Yeah.
What's fun is that in that same chat, I said, like, if you see something that feels obvious, like, of course the Packers should do this. Like, of course they should call up the veteran punt returner to come help return punts now that Jaden Reed is out and Matthew Golden's looking shaky, etc. Of course they should do it. This is obvious. Once you say it's obvious, you can bet the Packers will not do it. And once again, that lesson was
also, learned. If it seems obvious, it was obvious to them too, by the way. There's a reason, usually.
You would think.
There is right, usually a reason. There's nothing better at life than it's week three in the NFL. Let's call up the freaking rookie that nobody ever heard of that had a good camp for your offensive
I'm down
line.
With that. Like, let's go, baby. you're so
here we are.
I know. Before we get to, you know, we'll run down the offense and the defense like we always do. I did want to take a second, Corey, because of course, you know, after you lose a game, people are frustrated and angry, and especially when you lose it the manner in which the Packers did on Sunday, a game they had pretty much control of throughout until the last, 4 minutes or so. I'd forgotten, Corey, how unhinged it can get across the internet after the Packers lose. And I'm not saying
how can
that it
you
was
forget
all...
that.
I know,
how
but
can
because,
you, of all
you know, the
forget
the Packers have done so well the first 2 weeks, you know.
That's funny.
It's fun though, because I was like, God, looking through all the kind of vitriol and all the calling for LaFleur's head and he's a terrible coach and they'll never win a championship with him. That's always my favorite. Can I just remind people of something? I just want to remind folks of something. Like, I'm not saying Matt LaFleur is the greatest coach of all time. Right. He's got his flaws. He certainly does things at times that frustrate the hell out of me. But he's a really good coach, like a really good coach. And people saying he'll never win a championship. You know what? People were saying the same thing about Andy Reid in Philadelphia. And then he had to go to another town to win a championship.
They also said that.
And I'm not saying you'll hang on to him forever, you know.
He said that about Mike McCarthy until he won the Super Bowl.
I said it's about Mike McCarthy. Absolutely. Like, and I'm not saying he gets to stay in Green Bay forever, right? I'm not saying that. But, man, since Matt LaFleur was hired, so that's 2019, and that's all you can do is look at the work he's done as the head coach in Green Bay. The Packers are tied for the third best regular season record in the NFL, with the top mark in the NFC since he was hired. All right. He also has the third highest regular season winning percentage among active head coaches with, you know, coaching 50 games or more.
Yep.
I mean, he's a really good coach. People, I get it's frustrating. I get sometimes you don't agree with the play call, or maybe they do have a game like you saw on Sunday where it's incredibly frustrating to watch them lose. But I am begging people to pull back, have a little context, take a look at the whole league, and understand you've got it pretty damn good with LaFleur as your coach. That's all. That's all.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I always think it's funny that it's the people, it tends to me to be the people who, like, are the most thirsty. So, like, the ESPN Milwaukees of the world, the people where, we don't have the Packers license, so you know what? Let's get a bunch of young kids who don't know what the hell they're doing or talking about. Let's get them talking about things and making stuff up so we can get some clickbait. Because it does feel like, it feels like anytime, Homer, I saw all the stuff Homer was saying. It's like, dude, you're a moron. Like,
well,
you're just,
and that was directed
you're
at
just
Jordan
trying
Love.
To be, yeah. And it's stupid. Everything he said was dumb, by the way. Like, everybody keeps telling me to respect this guy, and literally every word out of that guy's mouth about Jordan Love was so dumb. Like, it was just like, do you have any evidence that you're basing this on? No, you're just talking. Like, it's so sad. It's so sad that it's so sad how what a privileged world we've grown up in. We are literally the worst Nepo Baby fans. Some of us are the worst Nepo Baby fans because they're like, oh, another title. It's like, yeah, another title. We're well on our way.
Like, and it's really hard to win. Like, it's really hard to win, period. It's impossibly difficult to win a title. And yes, God forbid we go through whatever LaFleur's tenure is, right, and don't win a title. So if that happens, then everyone gets to say, I told you so, and you'll have a great time doing it. But, man, they can win a Super Bowl with Matt LaFleur as their coach. He is one of the best coaches in the NFL, period. Like, it just drives me insane, Corey. It drives me nuts.
I hear you.
That said, let's talk about the offense, shall we?
I do. My only tapper on that, the reason I bring up the media, is because right. I do think that the engagement flames are fanned by the people I mentioned and others that I have not mentioned.
Yeah, of course. Of course. No, that's true.
Like, in
that's
a really fair. Bad you way. Know. Like, it's, you know, that thing you had, what is that little, like, the thing that blew air in the fire, you know,
the
when
you
pillow? Had the fire?
The billow.
Yeah, the billow. Yeah. My grandfather had one of those. I like the smell of that. It had like
my
that
grandma had
smoky
smell. Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. And you're like, yeah, let me get them flames up high.
That's get those flames going.
It's like, as soon as we lose, people are like, I can get engagement now. People will listen to what I have to say, even if it's stupid.
It's just, and it's just the extreme, you know? And I get it. It's an extreme game, right? That's an extreme situation where you have a very boneheaded play by Jordan, which we'll get to. But, like, so it's just this automatic. They completely, apparently, forget everything we watched for eight quarters previously to this game kicking off. And now all that matters is what happened in Cleveland. Like, no, what? How are we? Where is the? I'm so confused. I'm so confused, Corey.
Well, and it doesn't. The thing is, like, even dominant teams in the NFL are two mistakes away from losing a game.
Yes,
every game.
Like every game.
Even games.
The ball bounces
usually
a certain
games
way.
Where
it happens. Yeah. Special teams usually, like it did on.
It's
Sunday.
Rare. It's rare that you have a huge spread on a game. I know people are going to look back, oh, look at Cleveland's games, the Ravens, mm-hmm. It was like 41-17 or whatever, and it's like, I didn't watch that game, but I imagine that game had a lot of context to why that happened. I also know on paper, and we saw it on Sunday, that the Cleveland Browns have one of the best defensive lines in the NFL. Now, that might be the only thing they have.
Well, they have one of the best defenses, period, in the NFL, like, no doubt. Like, and they are legit as shit.
You saw that. Like, you saw that. Yeah. You saw us having our way. Well, you know, I do think that teams, I do think there's one proven thing in the NFL right now, which is thank goodness we got Micah Parsons. But if you can right. have a defensive line that can disrupt with four, you are yep. already winning. You are already
you're cooking
you're
with
already
gas.
60% yep. of the way there. You're yep. beyond flipping a coin. So
yes.
it's just a whole different level of play when you have teams that can do that. And I don't know how many teams of the what are there, four teams that have that kind of defensive line in the whole entire NFL? Not many.
I have maybe a few more, but yeah, it's not probably 10 or less, I would say. Like,
but I
they
would
can
say
consistently count on getting
those,
home with four. You know?
Yeah, I say the second half of those, they only have like one superstar, right? They have a one, right. they have an almost Micah Parsons, or they have a Rashawn Gary, right?
They have a group chat version of Micah Parsons.
Exactly. And like
in the aggregate.
Or they have one guy and then a bunch of guys, right? But we right. do have legitimately like 2.5, almost
some
three
dogs.
If you go Devontae Wyatt. I mean, like, we have some guys that are just on another level, and I don't know. I
hear
think
you.
There's a reason we tried to get Myles Garrett like pretty hard. There's a reason.
I mean, you look at everything they did on defense and you get really excited. And you look at everything they did on offense and you get really frustrated. Starting with everything that happened up front. That offensive line, I would say is a mess, but certainly was a mess in that game. But man, the offensive line is a mess. And
it is.
It's so frustrating when you see what they've done as far as putting resources into the offensive line, whether it was signing Aaron Banks, whether it is giving Zach Tom the contract extension, whether it is drafting Anthony Belton in the second round and you're using a premium pick there. I mean, that was all stuff that happened this offseason, right? You take Josh Myers out of the equation. That has long been your worst offensive lineman, and that isn't even close, really. You subtract him from the equation. You move Elgton Jenkins, and the line got worse. What? Yeah. Like, it looked terrible. Everybody
if we had Josh
looked,
Jacobs right now, our Elgton line would be better than it is right now. Just currently.
I mean, including Elgton Jenkins, though. And here was the other thing. Something that I know, I think Mike Wall pointed this out on his social, which was, man, so well spotted. Like, just the operation, because it was their first game on the road. It's not something I would have thought of leading into. I mean, we did talk about like the noise factor and the fact that they had enjoyed two games at Lambeau to start the season. But man, it's the first time Elgton, you know, starting with this group on the road. And he's got his head down at the snap of the ball. They're going on silent count. He's snapping it with his head down. By the time he's lifting his head, whoever the defensive tackle is like crossed his face already. He's halfway across the line of scrimmage. Like, that's got to get fixed, man. Like, that's got to change. I don't know what their operation might be, but it can't be that on the road. Like, just things like that, that just, it felt very un-Packers. It felt very, like, usually they're really on point when it comes to protection and what they're asking guys to do with simple stunts. You know, that's not like the Browns were running a ton of exotic stuff. They just got their ass handed to him by a dude. Like, it wasn't just, oh, Jordan Morgan had a bad game, because I saw a lot of that. And you're right, Jordan Morgan had a bad game. Mm-hmm. But Rashid Walker had a bad game. Jordan Morgan had a bad game. Aaron Banks, before getting hurt, he had a bad game. You know, Elgton Jenkins had a bad game. Sean Ryan had a bad game. Like, there is not a person who played offensive line for the Packers in that game that had anything other than a bad game. I mean, that can't happen again. That has got to change, and starting on Sunday night, because, wow, you talk about being unable to operate on offense, just anything. Like, people talking about Jordan or LaFleur's play calling, you can't operate. Like, the only thing you can do is get to your quick game. That's it. And that's what eventually ended up moving the football for them. Couldn't run the ball. Couldn't protect anybody.
I do hope their self-scout, though, is, you know, we need to move
get to that
the
quick
short.
Game.
Well, we need to move the short and intermediate game up. There needs to be a quicker sensor on that, you know? It just needs to
agreed.
Be a quicker
getting to it
like,
in the game.
I thought
yes.
they did a really good – I thought that, you know, the thing is, I think the defense kind of lulls the coaching staff a little bit, because they're like, we know we have it. What's good about the defense is that we stick with their game plan. So you saw us sticking with the run despite it not working. And I think overall that helped us in the game. And I that's agree. Not something that we typically do, because as soon as and I
it
think
hasn't
in
been
the past,
our MO. No.
Yeah,
exactly.
I think in the past we would have got down a score and then we would have went right to the long game, and that would have blew up in our face again because we can't drop back. So I do think, though, it would have been nice in the third quarter, especially after the half on the adjustment, to get to the short and intermediate game a little quicker.
Yeah.
It just seemed like we got to it too late. And also, I just on the offensive line thing, I think what's so surprising is that, yes, the dominoes are going to fall, and they've just always been good about the dominoes falling and being able to pick them up, to your point. And I think in this case, like, almost the Jordan, I know a lot of people are like confused about the Jordan Morgan moves around the line, where it's like, what are you doing to this kid? Like, give him a second position, but making him go to a third or fourth position is freaking
the,
crazy.
Right,
to
him
everybody.
Coming in for Zach Tom at right tackle was absolutely mind-blowing and mystifying. Like, hadn't played right tackle all summer. You have Anthony Belton, who started at right tackle. You got Kennard, who you traded for, who has started in the league at right tackle. And you put Jordan Morgan there, who hasn't played right tackle all summer for you? What? It like that was mind-blowing to me. I don't get that. And I understand. And what I to his credit, LaFleur was asked about it on Monday. You know, do you think you're maybe asking a little too much of this? You're doing a disservice to your young player. And Matt straight up said, I think there's some merit to that, because it's a stark contrast to how they're treating Anthony Belton. All summer long, people were like, well, you're running my guard. I remember Spoon asked point blank, is there any thought to like trying him out at guard? Like, no, we're going to, you know, maybe eventually, but right now we're going to have him concentrate on tackle. Jordan Morgan's got to be sitting there going, hello, can I concentrate on at least two positions, let alone three? Like, it's, yeah. I mean, don't get it twisted. He had a bad game. He got beat a lot, and he's got to play better. And the thing, like moving around a lot doesn't excuse, is the pre-snap stuff, the false starts that absolutely kill your drives. Like, that can't – I don't care where you're lining up. You got to know the snap count. You got to be on your P's and Q's in that regard. You know, it's hard enough to move the football in the league. It's really hard in that environment against that defensive front. You start, you know, shooting yourself in the foot with false starts. Game over, man.
Yeah, as
no
soon
chance.
As we got behind, though, we didn't have the
no chance
because we have no ability to push any kind of extra button in that game to give Jordan like
not in that
seconds.
Game. No, exactly. What's so funny too is that you're coming off the game against the Commanders where they did get into a second to 20 and they like rip off a 18 yarder to Tucker Kraft. Well, yeah, that's great because you can hold up in that game, but yeah, against Cleveland.
Well, but
that's why I think
it's. That's why I do think it's a mixture of the two. I think it's 50% the dominoes falling and not being able to fall on them, and then 50% going up against arguably the top three defensive line in the – because there is a – the thing that I think people don't understand and that I've only realized recently understood is that there is a freaking huge drop-off on defensive lines in the NFL. Let's just be real. Okay,
oh, yes.
I'm sorry. There's a reason you pay a guy $188 million.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's that. The money is a thing that shows you how big the mountain is.
It's an indicator.
You know
that's for sure. Like, absolutely. Like, yes.
And Myles Garrett's the second one. Like, basically, I don't know if he's the second now, but he's right up there. With
no,
Micah.
He's the highest now. Now I think he's the highest.
He's the
highest. Maybe no. Micah beat him. Micah beat him. I think you're right. But yeah, there's a reason they paid him what he paid him. No doubt. And the rest of those guys are great. Like, man, Mason, that rookie that they got.
Well, as we've seen. Well, here's the other thing.
Sean Ryan's ass all game.
Well, as we've seen with our defense, like even a good offensive line against our defense has to double Micah, which opens up the whole game.
Which just opens up one-on-ones and opportunities. No question about it, man. But yeah, you feel for Jordan back there because this is what killed me. All right. Jordan Love had a bad play that everybody saw. The interception. Tough moment, no question about it. We got people on the internet saying he's terrible and you can't trust him and all this stuff. But man, he played as well as possible throughout that game, given what he had to work with. I entreat people to say that Jordan Love, quote, played poorly in that game to go watch the coach's tape. Just go to the passing plays. You can do the cut-ups on NFL Pro, all the passing plays. Show me where he's supposed to throw the football by the time there's a dude in his lap. Like, there, you can't. There's nowhere for him to go with the ball at all in any sense, moving it, trying to move it downfield. Ever.
I think the only and the interception, I think it was proven. Matt LaFleur himself said it, that he shouldn't have put Jordan in that situation on that play. Yeah, he's got some
responsibilities
there.
He's still got a what's funny is I think he does recognize it, and that's why the ball dies the way it does. Because, and Matt said, like, I think he realized it as he's letting it go, right? And he's trying to, like, kind of pull it back, but it's too late. So, and the safety made a great play, no doubt about it. They baited him into it, thought it was man, he came off his man, blah blah blah. Like, it's a great play by
my
the
only
defense, no question about it.
I have a couple things. My small little thing about Jordan in the game, and I think we've had it all season and a little bit last year, is I just wish that his radar was a little better of when he can just throw it away and when he can make a play. And I'm asking for something that is literally
He's gotten better in that regard, though.
But what I'm saying is almost an impossible human thing to do, by the way. Like, to understand in a 100 or less milliseconds, which 100 milliseconds, you know, whether you should throw it away or a play. I mean, we've seen Aaron Rodgers, seen Brett Favre. I just want to say something real quick to all the fucking Jordan love haters out there, because I am so sick of Packer fans that are Jordan love haters. And I personally feel like a lot of them are probably huge Brett Favre fans. And so I asked a couple AIs that I know, and I did a little bit of research, and I made sure I got some AI. So according to ChatGPT and Google Gemini, both, I had to, you know, you got to have two references when you're a journalist.
Got to have two sources, right?
Yeah, what two sources.
A big J journalist over here.
I'm a big J. Although I don't know that they changed the rules for AI. Anyway, so hey. Jordan Love is 35 starts into his career.
Okay? Right. Yep.
Jordan. Okay. So I did a comparison. So maybe I'm wrong. I've checked this. It took me about 10 minutes to double check this. So if I'm completely wrong,
so this is
I'm
a deep
love
dive.
This. Can't wait till people dunk on me. But I've been thinking about this actually for a week and a half. Because every time Jordan Love intercepts the ball, there's this murmur that runs through Packers Nation, and like it's just this like this excuse for, you know, to dump on this kid.
All the haters, they confirm their priors. And look, I told you so.
Make some hater.
Never mind. What's hilarious though is never mind the fact that he's coming off like this incredible streak of 12 regular season games without an interception. Like so many X number of passes, like hundreds of passes in a row without an interception. Never mind all that. He threw a pick, Corey.
Okay. So some of you, I remembered Brett Favre. I was really excited by game 35 of Brett Favre's career about Brett
Favre.
You
and me both, okay? Brother. Hell yeah.
Okay. So game five, we're talking about probably, I think we're in year 2.5, right? Or whatever. Game 35. So 35 games. In 35 games, this is crazy. Jordan Love is 20-15. Brett Favre is 20-15.
Even though quarterback wins are not a stat, but yes.
Correct. I know. Shut up, Nagler. Nagler, I'm talking. Completion percentage, 63.6, Jordan Love. Brett Favre, 62.3. Passing yards, 8,218. Brett Favre, 7,817. Touchdowns, 62 for Jordan Love, 44 for Brett Favre. Here's the kicker. Okay, Jordan is killing Favre on every stat, by the way, except for wins, because quarterback wins aren't a stat, as Nagler so eloquently said. Interceptions, 23 interceptions for Jordan Love. Guess how many interceptions Brett Favre had in 35 games? 42 interceptions. 42.
Whoa.
Okay,
42,
that's a passer rating of 96.6 for Jordan Love and a passer rating of 78.8 for Brett Favre in 35 starts. So, you know what? I'm done with the fucking Jordan Love haterade, you guys. I'm done. Nobody should be drinking it. You need to get with life. Get with life. Choose life.
Get with life. Get with life. It's so annoying. Right there.
Well, that's what's annoying when people like Homer and all these people. It was funny. I saw this Stephen A. interview, and not that I like Stephen A., but it was funny because he was like, it was like last week or something. And he was like, I think it was Dan Orlovsky or somebody who's a quarterback. And he was like, who's your favorite quarterback in the NFL? And literally he said Jordan Love. And Stephen A.'s face was like, what? Like, do you even watch football? Does anybody watch football that talks about it? Doesn't seem like
some do. Very few do actually watch the game. Also want to give a shout out to our friend Tom Grossi, who's in the chat. What's up, Grossi Posse? How you doing, brother? He actually makes a great astute point, as he often does. Tom says, it's a very reactionary league slash media landscape. They were obviously issues that the Packers have, O-line, turnover, block, etc., but got to have some perspective after seeing them dominate the first 2 weeks. You think? Are you asking for perspective in 2025 in this economy?
Well, and that's why, honestly, when this is why my hair's raised up when in week one and week two, people that would never, if you told them that the Packers were good, they would always argue the opposite. As soon as media types are saying in the national media are saying that that isn't like Dan Orlovsky or somebody who actually watches football or
actually watches film. Yep. They're just opinionators.
Like, they're just some athlete or non-athlete opinionator who actually doesn't watch the games that. Yep. And they say the Packers are the best team. I'm always, my hair is raised up. I'm like,
Once they start gassing up the Packers, you know, you're in trouble. Yep. Because it's always as a precursor to basically bring them back down to earth and, you know, beat them back down and say like, well, they could have been great, but they're not and blah, blah, blah. And then they go on a run about how terrible they are. No doubt about it. Final thing on the offensive side of the ball. Man, remember this offseason when they did sign Aaron Banks and they moved Elton Jenkins to center and we were like, oh, they're going to road grade and Josh Jacobs is finally going to have some room to operate. Yeah, that hasn't happened, Corey. Josh Jacobs is still making like 90% of his yards after contact. He's still doing it on his own.
100%.
Like, I don't know if this is the week because – the Cowboys run defense, for all the jokes about them wanting Jerry wanting a better run defense, they are actually a bit better than they were last season. They're not a great run defense. They're not the Browns, but I don't even know if this is the week that Jacobs gets on track because man,
I think
again, back to the offensive line, they just haven't done much. They have not opened. Now, I think obviously we talked about this earlier in the season. Teams are keying on early rundowns. Like they are certainly trying to take Josh Jacobs away.
Yeah.
And it's sad to me that what he finally snapped his streak. He had that 11 game streak of having
I was
a touchdown
about that.
And they got down there and they did run it twice. And then Jordan threw the touchdown pass. And that essentially was the dagger in the streak, which is, you know, unfortunate. But man, you know how we did get Kenny Clark some help for so long. Can we get Josh Jacobs some help? Can we just block better? My goodness, this guy, how many times do you see him? This happened at least five times that I can recall on my rewatch where, you know, there's a Cleveland Brown hitting him either a yard or two in the backfield that he then makes into a 3 or 4 yard gain.
Yep.
Or there is like a sliver where, okay, yeah, he can get just two or just past the line of scrimmage, but then there's a safety or there's a linebacker and someone's there to basically destroy him. And this brings up the other component, something that really hasn't been talked about a whole lot. A lot of the narrative, for obvious reasons, has been the offensive line. But man, I got to think, starting with LaFleur, but probably everybody on the offensive coaching staff, I suspect read the riot act to the receivers after this game. Because we've heard so much from LaFleur and those guys about how important it is, you know, run blocking at the receiver position. It was not on point. It was not on point in this game. And it showed, like, how many times you saw a corner making a tackle or a safety making a tackle. Like, the whole point is for you guys to get up in there and throw them out the club and give Josh opportunities. Man, it was rough. It was not good across the board. And like I said, the offensive line will get most of the headlines, but the receivers got to be better as well.
I mean, there was a lot of talk in our Patreon happy hour. I remember reading through the stats of like, you know, Jacob's performance this year, I feel like is it's not where he wants it to be. I can tell you that his per carry are down by like, I think 0.2 almost, right now. That that game brought his average down under 4, but he was he was sitting at 4 first two games and last season.
I think he's at like 3.4 now or something like that.
Yeah, I think 3.1.
It's tough.
He hasn't had his he's going to have the thing about Josh Jacobs is he's just super reliable and you can see like he is going to have a breakout game. It's not a matter of when, it's a matter of not a matter of if, it's a matter of when.
Yeah, I just,
regardless of the offensive line or the
I know, right? He's just going to make it. He's going to will it.
He's that guy. I mean,
you're
like,
not wrong.
I mean, it's like Micah Parsons and him are really both these kind of guys that we have on our team where they can will it. Not in that game, but they can.
Well, against that defense. But against a lesser defense, decent possibility, definitely. Speaking of defenses, flipping it over to the Packers' defensive side of the ball. Corey, what's so funny, we're talking about the offensive line, and I mentioned all these kind of additions and moves and whatever, all the resources poured into the offensive line. And now the narrative all offseason, so many people were worried about the cornerback room. Like, they let Jair go. They didn't draft a corner early, blah, blah, blah. And everyone was so worried about the corners. They are more than holding up. The combination of Nixon, Valentine, and Hobbs through three games, 10 completions on 26 targets for 92 yards in three games, Corey.
Damn.
Shout out to Zach Cruz for putting that nugget out there. I mean, they are balling out at corner. I mean, it doesn't matter. Like, you want to talk about, oh, they haven't faced anybody. Did you watch Amon-Ra St. Brown on Monday night? Did you watch Terry McLaurin in any game that wasn't against the Packers? Like, they have shut dudes down. It's impressive, Corey. Given all the hand-wringing all offseason about the cornerback group, they have absolutely come to play in 2025.
We're in the top five in almost every stat.
Yeah, on defense, definitely. It's crazy. The one thing that's going to be interesting to see on Sunday night, but gotta try and button up that run defense. You know, the Browns found a little crease here or there. You know, obviously the big run, I mean, like that's going to happen every once in a while where somebody catches you in a certain look and etc. But you know, that's kind of the one question mark that people had after the Micah Parsons trade, right? Like, did they sacrifice when it comes to defending the run? I don't think the Browns killed them with that, but they were certainly able to, at times, find a little something here or there. And I got to think, especially with the Cowboys hurting at receiver, their offensive line is banged up, I would suspect they're going to try and, you know, fire off the ball with their offensive line, which is, again, featuring some backups and rookies, etc. They're going to want to try to establish that ground game. And I'm going to be interesting to see if the Packers can button that up because that's their hope.
Yeah.
You know,
what's crazy is I was looking at, while you were saying the defensive stats, I was looking at team defense. And one stat that sticks out is the Dallas Cowboys have 900 yards against their defense. And we have 567. Yeah. So, like, right there. And also another stat that sticks out that I don't think I've ever seen us be first in, which is kind of crazy, is yards per attempt is 4.8.
Oh, yes. Right.
The next highest team is the Chargers at 5.5. That's crazy. That's insane.
The Packers and the Chargers right now, I would say, are like the two defenses that could give the Browns a run for their money as far as being the best defense in the NFL. Eagles are probably in the conversation, but man, the Chargers and the Packers are probably the two biggest surprises and or maybe unexpected for, you know, everyone was talking about this stuff heading into the season. And by the way, you're talking about team defensive stats. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, after 3 weeks, the Packers lead the league in scoring defense.
Wow.
I mean, we've had decent scoring defenses before. We've had teams that were like hovering in the top 10, even hanging around the top five, but leading the league, baby. That's pretty impressive. That doesn't suck. I'm down with that.
Too bad we can't score.
Well, couldn't score last week, that's for sure. That's all changing on Sunday night, though.
Thanks, McManus.
All changing on Sunday night.
What? What the hell? Why do special teams all, like, anytime we have anything good in life, as soon as we're like, this is great.
You know what's so funny, Corey? I thought about, because of the blocked field goal, I thought, okay, we should probably have a special teams moment / section in the rundown, whatever. But I didn't, because I was like, oh, Corey's going to be mad that we're talking about special teams and blah, blah, blah. And so, okay, I won't.
I am,
and then
mad
you
that we're talking about
just brought
teams.
It up.
Yeah. Well, I'm talking about special teams because we just signed this guy to a 3-year contract and he can't even kick.
Yeah, well, it's
why did we extend him? Like, clearly he's got like, oh, he made his money now. Fine. Bye.
I don't think that's the case. But
did you see they had him in a referee?
They did. So. A little content there during camp.
You know what they should do for content? They should show you him kicking 24 hours straight. Make a 48-yarder. Yeah,
live feed.
I want to see. I want to see. You cannot leave Ray Nitschke Field until you make 148 yarders in a row. Can you imagine?
Well, he kind of did that during camp. That's the other thing. Like, he was so good this summer. That's what's nuts. I had people like in my mentions go, "Well, the beat told me he was so the best kicker known to man." I'm like, "Well, the beat reports what they see, and in camp he was phenomenal." And now he's missed a 48-yarder in pristine conditions in Lambeau and had a low kick that got blocked in Cleveland.
Also, I know everybody's going to blame Kraft, but, like, how come – I was linking to the Patreon Happy Hour, which, you know what, yeah. I will say the Patreon Happy Hour is a place you can learn about some, like, really random shit. But I did learn that they were overloading and freaking Rich Bisaccia never adjusted, and so it's not just all on Kraft.
Well, that's the crazy part. It's not on Kraft. Like, Jordan Morgan got blown up.
It is like, McManus's fault. He kicked the fucking ball low, okay? Sorry, Aaron. I saw a chat. I looked at the chat. I'm sorry.
Why are you looking at the chat, dude?
I'm sorry. Everybody's it's like, everyone's it's, not, fault. It's a classic.
It's such a group effort.
Classic Green Bay Packers fans. It's not the kicker's fault. They didn't block. Maybe don't kick it low.
What's crazy is the dude who won it for the Browns, he kicks his high as hell. Like, go look at the replay. It's so funny. But here's my thing. It's like, you know, yeah. And I joked about this on Carry the G Radio, but I still think this is, I got something here. I'm cooking, Corey. Let me cook. So earlier on, when they had the field goal early in the game, Larry McCarron noted live on air, "Well, they're really overloaded. They came close to blocking that one. They're overloading that side. They got to shore that up. That could come back to bite them." If Larry McCarron can see that, can we get a button? I need a button for Larry McCarron to press so he can get on the party line. You know how, like, LaFleur and everyone in the booth and some of the guys on the assistants.
You're not allowed to do that. Didn't you see the Tom Brady stuff? You're not allowed to do that.
Yeah, but if the Patriots can do it and get their dynasty going, we should do that to get a dynasty going. I want Larry McCarron to be able to have a button that he presses so he can say,
"Hey, Rich, they're overloading over there. You got to take care of that. That's going to be a problem. They're coming after you."
So, you know, if Larry McCarron can see it, why can Rich Bisaccia not see it? That's what I want.
Or you could even have something better where you just have an assistant for Rich Bisaccia and his literally only job
he's
is to listen to the broadcast. No, but he's gonna have a Larry McCarron assistant where you just listen to the broadcast, and then when Larry says stuff, you flag it.
You go, "Oh, Larry mentioned this on the broadcast. We should look at that." That's good. That's a decent idea. That way you don't go afoul of the rules. Well done, Corey.
That kick was fucking low. You can put it on my.
You're always solving problems.
I don't care what the chat says. The kick was low. Look at the
chat is wrong.
Go watch it again. The kick is low. Get out of here with that garbage.
Anyway, you can find out more about this game and the upcoming game against the Dallas Cowboys in our weekly newsletter. Cheesehead TV Nation goes out each and every Thursday morning. Next one's coming at you tomorrow morning. And we do a post-game edition as well. Each and every game the following morning, all your Cheesehead TV content in your inbox. Tons of great stuff. Subscribe, people. There's a link in the description of this video to do so. You good, Corey? You ready?
Ready.
Let's do it.
This week in the Packer Blogosphere!
That's right! It's this week in the Packer Blogosphere, the return of that venerable series brought to you by Luigi's Frozen Pizza. Bring back the best memories of game day and pizza with one of the great Wisconsin originals. Luigi's original pizza is crispy thin and packed with unforgettable flavors you know and love. Made in Wisconsin since 1968. Bring back the memories and savor the taste of game day. Find Luigi's original in the freezer aisle at your local grocer. Luigi's Pizza. Taste the tradition.
Taste
every time I do this read, I get hungry. Every single time. Like,
I mean,
I'm now instantly dying for some Luigi's Pizza.
while you were doing it, I was like, oh, we should ship you some Luigi's so you can eat it.
We should 100% ship me some Luigi's. I'm all in on this plan, Corey Bank.
Yeah, because if we send you the coupons, that's not going to get you anywhere.
No, that doesn't help, Corey. Sure, the coupons don't help in New York City. No, exactly. I ain't going to do the job. I need the pizzas sent to me. That's got to happen.
I think that could happen.
First up, we got to highlight this phenomenal-looking documentary that is coming out next month called No Packers, No Life. I actually got to talk to the brain trust behind this film earlier today. It's up on our YouTube channel. You can check it out. And we also have the trailer that you can check out right here and right now. Let's take a look.
We're wandering Tokyo, and I see a guy with a Packers jersey on. And I'm like, no way. I just quietly say, go back, go. And he shouts back, go back, go! The Japanese Packer cheering team.
Packers number one.
I love Packers, no right.
Insanely passionate, to a degree which probably most people from Wisconsin are.
Wisconsin!
I said, you guys are welcome to come to a Packer game anytime.
I couldn't believe that.
Why? And who are you?
The Green Bay way is to host. And we say, okay, come with us. We'll show you a good time.
We want them to experience the Green Bay way.
This is Green Bay!
I'm a man of action.
Go Packers!
Wisconsin is huge. The one team in the NFL that's owned by the people.
It gives people a connection that no other team offers.
No Packers, no life.
That looks right. So good. That looks so fun. Like NoPackersNoLife.com if you want to find out where you can get tickets. Comes out in Marcus Theaters across Wisconsin next month. I think there's a big premiere event that you can find out about there at their website. Man, Corey, I got to say, like, clearly that's such a great kind of illustration of how Packers fandom, we always say, worldwide, right? We're devoted to Packers fans worldwide. But hearing someone from Japan say, Wisconsin is human. And the way he says it gives me chills, man. Like,
yeah.
The idea that it just transcends any kind of actual physical location and just translates as humanity. That's so great. I love that. That's my favorite part of that whole trailer.
I mean, personally, I love Japanese culture. I think it's incredible. I've been to Japan many times and I've stayed there for a while. And it's Midwest culture and Japanese culture, two of my favorite cultures. So, yeah, I'm in.
You're all in. You can talk to Corey all you want about Japanese culture or Wisconsin culture or beer or football on October 11th at the Cheesehead TV meetup at Hagermeister Park, downtown Green Bay. Carry the G Cream Ale will be flowing 5 p.m. Saturday, October 11th. Come on out. It's the Saturday before the Bengals game. It's going to be a lot of fun. They have live music after we're there. We're not doing no Motelman, no Cheesehead TV music, but they have some live music going on after we're there at like 7 o'clock. So come on out, drink some beer, talk some Packers. It's going to be a good time. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Should be fun. I love Hagermeister Park. It's nice. It's right on the river. It's got a great patio in the back.
The patio
really nice
is awesome.
Vibe. You get
really
some
hoping
like
for some good weather. You never know.
You get the you get the east side, downtown east side, and right across used to be where the Heritage Trail was. They're moving it, but I actually got to go for the first time on Monday night. I didn't even tell you this. I got to go to a very historic place for the Green Bay Packers, the Riverside Ballroom. I'd never been living here for
Now
almost 4 years. And I got to go to an event for the UWGB at the Riverside Ballroom. And Riverside Ballroom, for those of you who don't know, it's on the Packers Heritage Trail. Lombardi actually had, there was practice there. There was kind of, they had parties there. They had WAG parties there. They had all kinds of stuff there, but that was like the spot back in the 60s. And it's got a lot. And I think even 40s and 50s, by the way, I think, you know, because it was one of the bigger places in Green Bay to like have events. And really cool spot, really cool place. Heritage Trail, when you guys come to Green Bay, highly recommend doing that. Really shows off the tradition of the Green Bay Packers and how much it's rooted here in Green Bay.
That's so I didn't know you went to Riverside Ballroom. That's awesome, dude. That's very cool.
It was cool. It was like the bar when you're at the bar. I just always love to think about, like, when I'm in places like that, I just always love to think about, like, what was this like in the 60s? Like, what would it be like, you know, like
when Vince was there, right?
You know, Paul Horning came and ordered an old fashioned, and, you know, Ray Nitschke, was he on the end of that bar? Yep. And, like, you know, I don't
love
know.
It.
It's just fun to think
it's
about.
It's the best. I also wanted to highlight a couple things from TikTok because, Corey, I don't know who this woman is. She is obviously a Packers fan. I have no idea. Like, I don't know if she's a content creator or whatever, but this came across my feed. It's not very long, but I got to tell you, I felt this in my soul. Let's roll this.
I'm not going to hold you. The Packers got me fucked up right now. Win or lose, it's still green and gold. Never fold. So what the fuck was that?
What the fuck was that? Like, amen. 100% correct. Like, so good. Corey, I must have watched that like 100 times. I was laughing so hard. What the fuck was that? So good. And finally, Micah Parsons comparing Green Bay to every place else he's been, either college or pros or whatever. I loved this from Micah. Let's take a look.
I've never been to a place that offers so much for the players. Because obviously coming from Dallas, Dallas is like top tier. And then I would honestly say I've been more lucky in my career because I came to another elite organization who probably take care of the players even more than Dallas. Like, even just the meals, like, you get to pick the order, what you want for your breakfast and lunch. Like, it's made to order specifically for you. Like, a bunch of places kind of just do like buffet. Like, Dallas, like buffet, like whatever. They dead have options every day of what you want, like what you can order. I'm not gonna lie, the day they signed me, they was like, what meal do you want us to make you? I was like, what do you mean you make us meals? Like, they was like, yeah, like, we got all the chefs here, and they made me this Cajun sausage, chicken, shrimp pasta. And I said, woo, dog. And they was like, what do you want your post-game meal to be? I was like, I want that Cajun pasta y'all made me when I first got signed. He was like, that's not a problem. So I've been just accepting it all, and I mean, it's been nothing but love. Like I think I can really be a great player here.
Dude,
love it.
First of all, that pasta sounds amazing. And two, shout out Zach, the executive chef who I met down at the Super Bowl when they had like a booth where he was doing like food from Wisconsin and or Lambeau. He's a really good dude and clearly making a difference there at Lambeau Field with the food options and all the stuff available for the players. That is awesome. I just love to hear those folks get kind of a shout out, you know. It's good stuff.
I mean, I do think it's interesting. You know, I think a lot of people in the national media, they'll be like, oh, what else is there to do? You know, it's just all this like negative kind of
right.
thing. But
always.
I do think it's more about prioritization. What is important to you? If mm-hmm. if the number one thing is to make a championship team, and, you know, even when it comes to like, and I'm not an expert in Black culture or anything, but like they don't understand Black culture, but they try to bring it to them. Like, Coach talks about it, emphasizes it. Mm-hmm. They just
oh,
all
so
the
it goes
little
back to
things,
Ron Wolf when Ron Wolf
goes
was
back
hired,
to, yeah.
Right.
It's all yep, the little, 100%. Little, little things that they don't take for granted. Now, are there things that I think the Packers have not taken for granted, but I think that they've taken for granted the fact that they have 150,000 people on their waiting list. And that plays itself out in a lot of different ways on their fan side and other things.
Maybe a bit.
But the thing I've never really felt, I really have never felt like they take players for granted. I do feel like football has always had the number one thing.
National
about that.
Or fan media generated stories notwithstanding. Yeah. Cause like, remember all the, they disrespect their stars and all that stuff. No, they keep the main thing, the main thing. Yeah. It's about football. That's it.
Well, and
that's
and
the
here's
driving
the thing.
Force.
Here's yeah. the thing. Not to when they get away from that, it
yes.
becomes the beginning
when they get
of
in
the
trouble. Yeah.
When you see a quarterback, a starting quarterback, taking a golf cart and going to training camp instead of walking over there, it's the beginning of the end because you've just gotten away from your culture and the things that are important to you, and you can't say 1/11th if somebody else is above the 11. You just can't.
Oh, and
it doesn't
look,
work.
What's funny too is that's like, to quote George Lucas, it's like poetry. It rhymes. That's not different than Brett Favre having his own locker room area, right?
100%.
Back in the end
of
his tenure,
end.
Right?
Yep.
Beginning of the
yep.
end, right there. Totally agree. Let's get some comments from YouTube. I think there's some folks who have got some stuff to say there, Corey Behnke.
Here's a couple, Two-Tree. We got Joe O, who I think Joe O, if it's the Joe I think about, is the guy
that is
who
Joe O.
Does our videos, does like some of the videos and has done some stuff.
He's the one who cut up that video of me during daily. Earlier.
Yeah, I think Joe O might be the biggest Cheesehead TV super fan of 2025. I'm just putting that out there right now. I don't know who's going to take the gauntlet from him this year season.
I'm just
saying that.
Joe's
Joe O, I'm just here for the corn content. Joe,
we've been
here's
remiss.
The thing. I know it's a joke, but here's the crazy thing, okay? I am about to release 5 Three Sisters planting videos on Green Bay Gardener. So you're going to get lots of corn from the beginning of the seeding of corn until the harvest of the corn. I'm going to take you all the way through. You're going to get so much corn content. You're going to think the corn kid came back to life. I don't think he ever died, by the way.
Amar a shout out. A Carry the G Club member who says, let's fucking go. I need Sunday here ASAP. This loss got me all fucked up. Amar, you were going through it, buddy. Yeah, you were. I saw you. I saw you, buddy. You were going through it.
Poor Amar. Poor Amar.
He's so emotional. Like, he's so emotional. I love it. I love it. But, man, damn. You're doing yourself a disservice, dude.
Jerry Mannion, thanks, Super Chat. Back for the pack in Eden Prairie, Minnesota. Hi, guys.
What's up, Jerry?
Ed, I got the "our O-line is a worrisome thing" blues. Swinging Doors by Willie Nelson and Merle Haggard is today's song.
Swinging
today.
Doors. Oh, no. Yikes. That's tough.
Ralph Renucci. Hey, guys. Going to my first ever Packers game versus Bengals. I get to Green Bay at 5 at night Saturday and leave Monday morning from start to finish knowing everything that's out there. What would you do? Well, as we just mentioned, you need to go to the Cheesehead TV.
Get to Hagermeister Park, baby. Get right off the plane and go to Hagermeister Park. That's what you got
to
do.
Just go right to Hagermeister. You're gonna fly over it in a plane. You're gonna land, and then 15 minutes later, you're gonna be there.
You'll be at Hagermeister.
There's gonna be no traffic, which is one of the most beautiful things. Like, I'm waiting for the Micah Parsons video where he talks about traffic in Green Bay, because I'm here to tell you. It is the biggest. Everybody can shit on this place all you want because you've never fucking been here and you don't know what the fuck you're talking about. But when you go home at 5 o'clock and you get to your house and it's 5 minutes later and that's the exact time it takes you to get to your house and you've been everywhere else, San Francisco, Los Angeles, Dallas, Miami, blah, 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 New York, you are thanking your life. You're like, oh, this is nice. I like this. Ralph, and then after that, there's a lot to do. We have a video. Nagler's got a video he did.
Yeah, top five things to do in Green Bay. It's a bit dated at this point, but you should definitely check it out.
We need to make a new one. Maybe we should make a new one on Saturday.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Make a new one. You know what I want to do? The Cabin Pod just posted about this, and it was funny. It was the guy, and I can't remember, he's a TikTok creator who does a lot of Wisconsin destinations, and he does a lot of Green Bay ones, and they were talking about the best butter burger in Wisconsin.
Oh, damn. Oh, God.
Okay. And I'm here to tell you, and Wes Hotgoods can back me up here, because literally,
Oh, you said this on Twitter. Right.
Yep. So
this place?
Okay.
Yeah.
Everybody can hate on me, but I'm pretty sure they have it. I don't know of a better place as a Butterburger that I've been to, and there are a lot of good Butterburgers, but Mickey Lou's Barbecue in Marinette, shout out. It is fucking incredible. If you have, it's 48 minutes from Green Bay, and if you have 2 seconds of your life, go there. Go there. You'll thank me later. It hasn't changed since like 1942. It's incredible.
Dude,
char grilled.
Can
burgers.
I just say, wait a second. So hold up. So like good. Between so Luigi's Pizza and Micah Parsons talking about so Cajun good. Pasta, and now you're talking about Butterburgers. I am dying over. I'm so hungry. Oh my God.
I would say go to Mickey Lou's on Saturday, but no. I mean, it's worth it. It's worth
That's
it.
That's a drive. It's a drive, but you could do it.
But it's worth it. It's worth it. And you can get a shake, too. Also, if you're going to go to Mickey Lou's, get the Butterburger, but do not walk away from the fried egg sandwich as a bonus with the works. It will change your life. It will change your life. Lionel W., when did you and Corey realize you were so above it all? That's
you know what?
Talking shit about Packers fans.
No, it's just, you know, usually, you know, you think, am I better than everybody? And then you're honestly like your inner you know, monologue goes, no, of course you're not better than everybody. But then you are introduced to social media and you see so much fucking stupid shit. You're like, oh, there are a lot of dumb fucking people out there. So it's not that we're above it all. We just call out the bullshit. There's a difference.
Yeah. There is a difference. I mean, I remember doing the show and people would be like, you're such a gatekeeper of Packer fans. Because I used to talk like more generally about like, oh, this is how you should fan.
It's true.
And you know what? That's fine. I do have opinions about how you should fan. I just don't.
But that's the thing. We're here. Where are we? We're on our show, on our channel. We're not on somebody else's property. We're not talking about something that everybody else should do on their space. Like, yo, this is us and our opinion. Like, take it or leave it, fine. But where else the fuck are we going to say what we think other than on our own fucking show? That's what blows my mind. That's what just kills me. Come into my house, tell me how to talk. That ain't going to happen. Sorry, kid. That ain't the way it works.
I love how, here's the thing. I gotta get you. Maybe we got to go to Mickey. Maybe we got to go to Mickey Lou's with Wes on Saturday when you're here, dude. Seriously. Because you haven't been.
Now we're talking.
Because I know how
lunch.
Much
we'll
you
do
love
lunch there and come back and do. Yeah.
I
do
know,
lunch there and
I,
we come back
like,
and we do
dude,
the meetup.
Like, I mean, like, honestly, it's what Kroll's was trying to do 20 years ago when they had a good Butterburger. You know what I mean?
There you go. Now we're talking.
It's so incredible. It's just like one of those things where you're like, this
all
is
right.
exactly
well, dude,
the same as
hello?
It's been for 50 years.
I'll
how many times
Friday.
Can you go in?
We'll
how,
go up
how many times? How many times on Earth, okay, besides Lambeau Field, right?
Right.
But even Lambeau right. Field, right, because they've modernized it. How many times can you go into an establishment and like, This is exactly what your grandfather had. This is what your aunt had. Do you know what I mean? Like it's the essence of the thing, but it's still the thing. It's incredible.
The last time that happened to me, it was my parents. This is when my mom was still with us. I came into town and you know how there's like no pretense of any, like, it's just like, we're doing this. And I was like, oh okay. Because they had discovered a new supper club. And I can't remember the name of it, but you had to drive like 35, 40 minutes to get there.
Was it in Chilton?
No, but it was on the way to Chilton. It's so funny you say that. It was like in that direction, right?
Because I was going to say Repke's, but it wasn't Repke's because it wasn't.
But I walked in and it felt like I was in a Coen Brothers film, right? Like nothing had changed in 60 years. And it
was
great.
It in
the
New
food
Holstein?
Was phenomenal.
Was it in New
yes.
Holstein?
Yes.
That's my grandpa Banky's favorite supper club of all time.
Are you
He's
serious?
Been
get
dead
the
20 years.
Out of here.
Seriously.
Get
no,
out
dude,
of here.
That is a legit place. This is the thing about Calumet County. I've said this
Calumet,
for a while.
Was it Calumet? Calumet? Yes. Yes. Yep.
Calumet County, and this is not just me talking. Business News in Northeast Wisconsin did
a whole
article about this, which we definitely should do a blog post about. But I do think there's something, because Chilton, Repke's in Chilton is the same way. If you go there, it's exactly how it was.
No.
And
yeah.
they've had three or four
I know
families.
Repke's,
Here's
but...
what
I haven't been there.
I think there's a thing with supper clubs in Calumet County because there's mostly small towns there that a lot of small towns support the supper club. So
people come around to it
versus a big town like Green Bay. The supper clubs here, yeah, they're older, but they've been owned by different families and they don't have the reputation and they kind of go downhill.
There's not the through line that there is.
Yeah, there's not a continuation. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No.
Dude, Ricardo. That's amazing. It's amazing.
Ricardo Pinto. O-line is the key. I think actually half my family got married to that supper club, by the way. Ricardo Pinto. O-line is the key to everything. Figure that out, and then possibilities are endless. I got faith. Go Petco. True story.
1,000,000,000% correct.
Dennis Towle Jr. Those who don't like LaFleur never lived through Phil Bengston, Dan Devine, Ray Rhodes, or Bart Starr. Ba-doom-ching.
Bart Starr as a coach. Lambeau. And he was figuring it out towards the end.
I know Curly Lambeau won some championships, but still. Nicholas Miles. For many years, it feels like we play down to our competition.
Yeah, it is a weird happenstance, right? And I get it. And it's not dismissible. Like, the fact that it keeps happening. Like, look no further, right? Than how much did that feel on Sunday? Like, okay, you're talking about two-game win streak, right? You beat these teams that people thought were really good and like, oh my gosh, the Packers kicked their ass. Oh my God. And then they turn around and lose to what people thought was a team they should run over. I mean, not dissimilar to beating the Chiefs, right? Back in, like, what was 3-4 years ago, right? And they had that big win on Thanksgiving in Detroit. Packers are riding high, like they've beaten these two teams, and oh my God, they're going to go on a run. And then they turn around and go to fucking New York and lose to Tommy DeVito. So I get that perception. And until they change that MO and that result, yeah, that'll be the perception. I can't dismiss that.
I don't know. The Tommy DeVito thing, we kind of made a thing out of making bad quarterbacks make us look bad that year. So.
Well, Joe Barry did, yeah.
Yeah. Craig Brockmiller, I know the stats don't bear this out in the Super Bowl era, but I still say defense wins championships.
Well, it gets you to the championship, or at least it should make it a hell of a lot easier to get to a championship game. Hell yes. I mean, travels
Mike Witt.
In the playoffs will always be the case, a running game and defense, 1,000%. Mm-hmm.
One thing not many people are talking about is our running game has kind of struggled this year. Don't know if it's blocking or number 8 is not reading his box correctly, but it's got to be better soon. I would say it's definitely the former and not
blocking.
The latter.
Yes, I totally agree. Yeah. We talked about it a bit there, obviously, in the offensive section. But yeah, 100%.
Carl Van Beckham, the huge numbers of people who don't know shit who post regularly about the Packers on social media is at a peak. Thanks for knowing your shit, guys. I agree with this. I actually
appreciate you, Carl.
And I know I'm a little bit old man yelling at a cloud, and I'm also like creating content and not just on this channel, but other channels. But I just feel like the amount of people who talk about something, they have no idea. Like when we started Packer Transplants, like, yeah, I don't have any idea, but the whole point of it was to be like, how can we be outside of the state that we're from trying to follow this game to tell other people the things that we're seeing? It was never a premise of like, we're the experts. And I hope nobody watches this show because we're the experts. But I do try to give context and perspective, not just on historical perspective, but just kind of everyday perspective, because it's just not great to live your life like you're a freaking diabetic all the time and that your sugar spikes and then it goes down. Like, you got to try to maintain some level of like relaxation and, you know, happiness.
Well, it's entertainment. That's the other thing, right? Like, look, man, my mood is still affected. It's not like it used to be when I was a younger man.
That's
but
true.
Man, when the Packers lose, holy cow, I'm in a bad mood for at least 24 hours, right? And I'm sure a lot of folks out there listening or watching are similar, right? But man, there is a perspective. There is an equilibrium that you got to find, because it is entertainment. You know, like, I get it. We're all passionate. We're all crazy. We're all diehards. But the people who jump to immediately calling for people to lose jobs and this guy's not playing well because, oh, he shouldn't be out there because he's hurt, but he's playing there he's trying to gut that out for you, by the way. That's the shit that just drives me nuts.
Bill Patsis, thank you for the super chat, Bill. The bellow holders are opposing fans. I agree.
Ooh,
I agree with that somewhat.
Nice.
I agree with that somewhat.
Nice.
I think some of the bellow holders, though, are our own, just trying to get that clickbait. Because
the call is definitely coming from inside the house at times.
Funny because I just think it's funny. What's funny to me, and I know like Bill Michaels was in Green Bay or whatever, and so he always just kind of annoyed me with his negativity. But like, it is kind of funny how I do think a lot of the negative Nelly media people happen to be in Madison and Milwaukee. So, you know, I just expect better from you. I expect better from Madison and Milwaukee, or you guys better watch out, and we're going to make a Wisconsin Badgers podcast, and then we're going to make a Milwaukee Brewers podcast, because then all I'm going to do on those
Let's
podcasts.
Let's do a Badgers podcast and talk about how fucking garbage that program is. Holy shit.
Well,
I don't know what anyone in Madison has anything to talk about right now when it comes to the game of football. My guy, get your whole house in order first. What a disaster.
Cheesy baby. 43. Thanks, Super Chat. Walker yelling Jordan run as Miles blows past him was actually hilarious. Anyways, on to the next game. Let's remind the nation how good we are.
It was like objectively hilarious. Correct. I don't love it.
I mean,
but it was very funny.
I think we're going to run over Dallas. I really do. I just don't think they have that. They don't have the differences.
So.
They don't have the differences that you need to beat us. I just don't think. And yeah, especially if we come out attacking and we exploit their weaknesses on defense, I just don't see them beating us.
It's going to be interesting because Kenny, I know, is banged up. So he, like, maybe he plays, maybe he doesn't. But he's played well for them, obviously, because he's Kenny Clark. Odighizuwa, the other defensive tackle who I've always loved, you put them together and they could be a problem. They, like, especially as poorly as we played up front last week, gotta handle that way better.
Jerry Mannion. Okay, hear me out here. Jordan's interception was bad, but it looked like he tried to pull it back late, leaving it low and out to DB play call was a quick throw. 100%.
Matt said as much. Like, 100%. He saw it late and just tried to kind of unthrow it, unpull it back, whatever you want to call it, and it, like, he was already committed, and then that's why it dove. Yes.
FMCHDMZ. Damn, game got me so messed up. I went and did leg day at the gym. I'm going to need something creamy and cold to make me feel better. I wonder. You should go to Woodman's. You can go to Woodman's for festival. Get you some carry.
We don't have the video queued up, do we? Is Della there? Della, do we have? We don't have this ready for transplants, do we?
Yeah, Della's got her finger on the button to push that. Watch party, she pulled that trigger fast.
Because I do it all the time on dailies, so it's like people expect it. But we'll have that ready for next time on transplants.
We'll have to make a note for that. Mike Witt, I will admit it, I was angry Sunday, not because they lost, but to who they lost to, the interception. I would have gotten Love out of the pocket and used his legs. Seems like they had success with this Sunday. Oh, yeah. Thank you for the super chat. NA Productions, getting my girlfriend into football. Is she good to start with the season, or does she need to start at season one so as not to miss important plot points?
That's good. I mean, that is well played. That is well played.
I personally
should definitely start in 1919.
I can start in the middle of a show, and then I will go back and watch the beginning.
As if it's a prequel. People, right. Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't bother me. It's like once I learned that Greek theater was a thing and there was a chorus and I was going to learn the end and the strategy in the beginning, I just kind of I just take all stuff like that.
It's an interesting perspective. I couldn't do that, but I get like how you're able to. Like,
it bothers a lot of people. That I live with, where they're like, I can literally start a show. I can
people
start
who
a
you
show
live with who I may have spoken about this very subject about last year.
I can literally watch a show in season three and be thoroughly entertained by it. Like, it could be freaking like Mandalorian. It could be Star Wars. It doesn't matter, right?
Right.
Could watch, and then I'll be like, oh, that was good. Okay, I'll watch the next. I'll watch the season two, or I'll even go that one.
See what came before.
Backwards.
Yeah, right.
Mike Witt, any news on the Wyatt injury? Really impressed with him this season. And after the bye week, do you think they will see Watson or Lloyd? Call me crazy, but I still think Lloyd can be a player.
There's a lot going on there, Mike. Watson practiced today in a limited capacity, so bodes well. We'll see how he progresses throughout the week. Watson, very real possibility that he's at least practicing by the time they get ready for the Bengals, but no guarantees. Lloyd, another possibility. I don't disagree, but man, at this point, you can't count on it, right? You just, whatever he's able to give you eventually will be a bonus. That's where I'm at with Marshawn Lloyd.
I love how you realize you were sitting like I was at happy hour last night when like the
like
fourth
this,
person
like
was
this?
Talking about the offensive line. This is how like hanging, I was sitting like back. This at one point in happy hour. I was just like, can someone stop talking
about the offensive line?
The offensive line. I'm going to shoot myself. Mike Witt, I've always wondered what the deal is with Corey hating punters and kickers. Who does Corey hate more, Bukowski, Michaels, or punters and kickers? Over under how many times Mike sacks Dak Sunday? Okay, I think the over on Micah sacking Dak, I think it's going to be 3 sacks. So I think that's where we're going to live. So that'll be nice. And then the third sack, they're going to pull Dak out. So just mark my words. And that's going to be nice.
Well, I like it.
And who do I hate more? Well, I don't hate anyone. I thoroughly dislike a lot of things, but I got no hate in my heart for anybody. I'm going to be honest with you. It seems like I do because I get kind of emotional, but it's really not hate. It's just passion. Bukowski, Michaels, or punters and kickers. Okay. Punters don't exist in my world, so I can't not like them. They're just like a nothing. Like, they're just like a – they're literally like a nothing.
Daniel Whelan was worthless. A weapon in that game, man. He flipped the field. He had a 56-yarder there in the first half. Come on now. Put some respect on Daniel Whelan's name.
I live in the future where there are no more punters in the NFL.
Punters, so. I get it. That makes sense. Okay. That makes sense.
Bill Michaels probably on those, I think, would be number one.
You were saying
then,
before.
Then kickers,
wait a second. Hold up. You said Bukowski. You said Michaels, you know, at least he's in Green Bay, whatever, and blah, 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 blah. Although he very rarely comes to camp anymore, whatever. But I will say, Bill at least calls it straight as far as, wait, they're doing well. He says, yeah, they're doing well. And then when they do poorly, he's like, oh, this sucks, whatever. He's not like manufacturing stuff. At least give him that. You know, that's my thing with Bill. Like, do I agree with him about most things? No. But he's not manufacturing stuff to get upset
I don't know.
About.
I think what it, okay, and we're, yeah, I put Homer on the top of that list right now. Homer's like the number one on the top of my list because I'm just like, the guy, I don't know that he even watched
the whole you can't trust him thing. That was, you talk, exactly, this is my point. Talk about manufacturing something. Like, that felt like radio rage bait. You know what I mean?
I think with Bill, he kind of got the McGinnitis where you're the biggest game in. You're the big fish in a small pond.
Right.
And you get a chip on your shoulder and you think you're better than everybody. And I think as soon as you think I've never thought I was better than anybody. As soon as you think you're better than people, that's when it goes downhill for you in your career. If whether you're a quarterback, whether you're a radio personality, whether you're a blogger like Bob McGinn, whatever you do in life that you've chosen to do, you can never think you're better than your audience. You can't do that. You can never do that. It's not right.
See, but someone earlier said we think we're above everything. So clearly we've done that. Like, we've become the people that we thought we shouldn't become as far as like thinking we're better than our audience.
I guess. I mean, I've never met anybody at our meetups that said that to me, and I feel like they say all
that is a very different kind of like constituency, isn't it? It's very interesting. It is very interesting how that works. Yeah,
I mean, look, if you take anybody's words out of context, you can turn it into anything. I mean,
that's the thing. I would love to talk to anybody. So whoever made that super chat, like, I'd love to talk to those folks in life. Like,
it wasn't a super chat. I pulled it out because I wanted to respond to it. Sorry.
Very good. It's all good.
But speaking of super chats, I want to give a shout out to Mike Witt, Eeyore number two, for Chesed TV, because he literally, bro, thank you for the super chat. Seriously, you just gave like $50 in super chat. So I just want to say shout out to you. Well, he gave all these questions have been like $10 super chat. Yeah. So you don't have to do that. I really appreciate it. And so here's another one from Mike Witt. Just imagine if Golden takes it to the house instead of going full Aaron Jones Sunday. It doesn't come down to a low kick. That being said, Golden breakout game is happening versus this defense Sunday.
There you go. Come on now. I'm all in on this idea.
Could he really? I keep watching that play, and I don't know that he could have really taken it to the house. He clearly saw something.
A billion percent could have taken it to the house. Absolutely. Now, the momentum takes him out of bounds. I get it. I did a whole clip about this, but... yeah, he could have. Like, if he just puts his foot in the ground, gets upfield, he's got, like, everyone beat. No doubt.
Got it. Ed, Bears ask their players, what do you want on your hot dog? As opposed to, would you like shrimp, honey, garlic, and chicken pasta that I'm going to create for you from scratch?
The Cajun pasta that you can have at your whim. Nice.
Dustin Logan, I think Lloyd is going to be the spark on the offense. That's a pull.
I like it. I'm down with that. Let's go.
I'm down with that. JP, Corey brings up the golf cart, but didn't Rodgers have a point about treatment of certain players, like the Kenny Clark mistakenly cut situation?
That happens in every single NFL town, which is something that Rodgers didn't know when he was talking about this until he got to other NFL towns, where he literally talked about, Green Bay, we did this, that, or the other thing. It was so great. Now I'm in New York, and the Jets are a tire fire of an organization. Oh, remember how much kind of relish he took beating the Jets in week one? Don't you think that maybe he's had an education since he talked about that? Like, yo, this stuff, clerical error, that happens. Guess what? Green Bay is still a cut above any other organization for the most part. Now, do they have a blind spot here or there? Are they perfect? No, but come on. Like, yes, Rodgers talked about that when he had no other experience with any other NFL team. Go back to Randall Cobb. When Randall Cobb got traded from the Texans to the Packers, he literally said it was like getting out of jail. You know, like, guys, I'm telling you, like, look, Rodgers is an all-time great. Packers Hall of Fame, Pro Football Hall of Fame. His name's going to be on the facade, no question about it. But towards the end, he made it about himself. And there's nothing wrong with saying that. You can bring up any quote you want. He made it about himself. And to Corey's point, that's when you know it's over. That's when you know it's time to move on, which the Packers did. And they almost won the Super Bowl.
He only did it later in his career, which is what happens, right?
You
start to live in this bubble. You get rid of the people who say no to you. That's the other downfall with rich people and wealthy people and people who think they're better than people. They start to surround themselves with sycophants and people who say yes to them all the time. And you get in this bubble and you don't even know where the real world is. And, you know, some people like living there. And I just think you're never really going to be that successful living there. You just won't. Sons of Lombardi, I'll be a grandfather tomorrow as my daughter is being induced. Oh! Dennis Towle Jr. will also become a great grandfather. Go Pack, go!
Congratulations. Wow.
Congrats.
That's dope as hell. Awesome. Congrats, man.
That's amazing. Great grandpa. Great grandpas. Dennis. Honestly, I'm more sad that I'll never be a great grandpa than I am that I won't be a grandpa. Like great grandpa, that's a high level. Fair. That's a high level. If you can get to
wise,
great grandpa status,
old learned man level, yeah,
you
no
did
doubt.
Some shit. Instead, you know what I want to do? Oh, I found this out, Nagler. I think I haven't told you What's this that? Yet. So back in the olden days of like the medieval times, I think maybe during like the Enlightenment period, like in Britain, they would hire these old crazy dudes, like, you know, 60, I guess at the time they're like 50 or 60s, and this is where you get like Gandalf, okay?
Right.
Like where Gandalf like kind of came from as like a
the
wizard
archetype,
or whatever.
Right, sure.
Yeah, the archetype is they were like garden trolls that rich people would hire to live in their garden. And so it would just be like a wise, like homeless person, but they lived in the
that's
garden.
That's amazing.
Like that's great grandpa status if you don't have kids. Like that's my dream right now.
That's what you're trying to do. That's you could dream. Be your own
like you,
great grandpa garden troll gnome
like
thing
you're,
in your own
you're
garden.
You're walking in the garden and then like just some guy with like a long beard and a cane is just like, that's mist flower I planted 20 years ago today. Matthew Clark, thanks for the super chat. Evening chaps, I always said you have to lose one in order to finish the season 16-1 Super Bowl champs. That's the other thing. Do
Come
we
on, Matthew.
Think? Thank you. Thank
Come
you,
on, Matthew.
Matthew. And thank
Hell
you.
Yes.
I think that's pounds. I think that's pounds.
That is. He's across the pond, so he's up late.
Also,
thank you, Matthew.
I think I always ask what it is, pounds. Yeah, I might be a great granduncle. That's the thing. I have the opportunity to potentially be that. That'd be nice.
Oh, there you go. Really Come on nice. Now. Nice.
That's close. That's tangential. No, what I was going to say is this is the thing. Do people think we weren't going to lose this season?
Right. Correct.
That's me. When we lose the first time, and I get that they're like, oh, we were winning the whole game, and then it's the shocker and whatever. But I'm like, do you just think we're going to win every game? Like I think we're going to win every game, but I still go, oh, we lost. Okay, well, we're going to lose 4. So what the fuck? It's a weird.
Wait, someone just said, stay on target, please. Have you watch the show?
What? Stay on target. We literally talked about it.
We're literally an hour and 20 minutes uninterrupted commercial break free. An hour and 20 minutes. You want us to stay on target? What are you talking about? No.
Brandy, none.
No, we will not babies. Stay on target.
Yeah, I want to. That's what I want to do. I want to give
did I
this
look
place.
At the chat? Good Lord.
I just realized my new dream. I want to give this What's place that? To my niece and nephew. And so, but all I ask is that I get to live in the garden. I'm going to live in a little shack in the garden.
And then when it's like terrible out, you can go in the greenhouse, but not in the house itself.
No, I'm only allowed to live outside. No, it's going to be a whole thing. It's going to be great.
Amazing. I love it.
They're going to do studies about it, and they're going to show that if you live across the street from Lambeau Field and you live outside in a garden, you will have long life.
Okay.
It's going to be a whole study. It's a new dream. You got to have dreams, people. You got
to
have dreams.
Yes, it helps. It definitely helps. Something to aspire to. Something to reach for.
That's all we got.
What else we got? We got good. Let's give a shout out to our Patreon members. You keep hearing us talk about Happy Hour. Patreon Happy Hour is a ton of fun each and every week, usually on a Tuesday night during the season. Come join us. Support the brand, everything we do. We appreciate each and every one of you, all our Patreon members. Thank you so much. You're the lifeblood of everything we do at Cheesehead TV, as well as Carry the G Club members here on YouTube, making each and every watch party a ton of fun, even when the Packers aren't being a ton of fun. Corey, you got anything else for the fine folks at home?
Let's kick the Dallas Cowboys butt.
There you go. That'll do it for this episode of Packer Transplants. We'd like to thank everyone who makes Cheesehead TV part of their daily Packers routine. We are and will always be devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide.
I think it's a fluid situation, and we're I know you guys love it, especially Nagler. I can see you smirking at me right there. We're going to take it one day at a time, and just it's going to be fluid, though. That's all I can tell you.